This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all on this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast or email info@botfpodcast.com. And today we are here with Caroline Harries, and she is the founder of Moms in the Making. My connection with Moms in the Making is my very best friend got involved with this ministry a couple of years ago, and I didn't have this during my infertility journey, but she did. And just watching her grow, I've been so proud of her as she's learned God's faithfulness, as she's trusted his timing, as she's become a leader herself. And I'm just really excited to share that with you guys. If any of you know someone who's going through an infertility journey, or if you yourself, check out this ministry and all the other stuff that we're going to talk about today. And we're going to put the links in the show notes. So Caroline, why don't you tell us a little bit about your infertility journey?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Yeah. So our infertility journey started, well, back up a little bit, got married in 2011. And my husband and I decided we would try for kids kind of right away, basically. And due to prior health history, we had both had, the doctors had said, you know, let's just do scans on both of y'all and kind of just, you know, routine blood work and see what's going on, which looking back was such a blessing because I know so many people have to wait a long time before doctors will even look further. So in 2012, we both got tests run and we were devastated to find out that they were basically like, there's no way you'll ever be able to have kids due to male factor infertility. And so 2012 was really when our journey started of believing for children. And so here we are, that's 8 years later, 2020, and we are still believing for our children. So really, we were kind of at this crossroads of, you know, what are we going to do with this? And I still remember getting the call from the doctor telling me the results. I was at work. My husband came and picked me up at work because I was, of course, pretty emotional. And we came home, and in that moment, we knew that that wasn't how our story was going to end, that we had a faithful God who with him, nothing was impossible. And so that's really been our journey for 8 years. There's more detail I can go into for sure, but that is kind of where it all began.
Which of the three things, so you've got A Cup Full of Hope, which is a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You have In Due Time, which is the book. And then yes, you have Moms in the Making. Which one came first?
Yeah. So it all started with In Due Time. And In Due Time was actually birthed just a week after our infertility diagnosis. So my husband and I, again, still trying to like process the news we had received. We were driving down to Austin. I live in Dallas, and we were going down south about 3 hours. And I remember being in the car and the Lord specifically saying, you need to write a blog. You need to start a blog. And I laughed. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's the worst idea ever. I don't write. I've always struggled with reading comprehension and, you know, had to take special classes growing up. I am a numbers girl through and through. I love Excel spreadsheets. I love math and finances. And so in that, I probably kicked and screamed a little bit and was a little disobedient, but that really is what started my blogging career, but that's what started with In Due Time. And so, yeah, it started as a blog in 2013 in 2012, and then it became a book in 2016. So
what is the journey of turning a blog into a book?
Yeah. So that's a great question. You know, I was blogging, and I'm actually embarrassed when people go back and look at my blog from the very beginning. I'm like, oh geez, please. I'm a whole different person. Please don't go back to the beginning. But it really began as just me kind of writing down my thoughts in regards to, you know, infertility. And we did have a few follow-up appointments. So I would share results and test results, and that it was connecting with other bloggers who were part of the infertility community. And from there, it really became a place of me just sharing truth, whether it was a Bible verse, whether it was a sermon that was on my heart, really wherever the Lord was leading me. And so I don't remember exactly when it was, but I know that he started putting on my heart to write a devotional. And so it wasn't like I turned my blog into a book, but it was kind of birthed out of, you know, me being on this journey of writing and again, being disobedient, being like, I would never do that. I would never write a blog. And then him asked me to write a book. And I'm like, are you crazy? You've gotten crazier. Like, these are crazy ideas. And so I did pull some content from my blog, but my book really in due time is it's a 60-day devotional. It was written from a place that any man or woman could pick it up and be encouraged. And it's really just for someone who's looking for encouragement, especially for someone who's going through trials or is in a waiting season. So I released that book in 2016.
So this question wasn't in the list I gave you. It's just one I thought of. Do you deal a lot with men? Like, do you have a ministry that involves the men with infertility?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know what? We don't. And it's not because it's not something we've never talked about. It's definitely not something. It's also not because men don't go through it, because they do, right? My husband actually tried to do a little dads in the making, if you will. And let's be honest, it just looks different. Do husbands go through it? Absolutely. But is it much different than what the woman goes through? Yes. Most men are not going to get in a room and talk about like their wife's periods and cycles and hormone shots and, you know, all these things that come along with it. And they might go to a restaurant and, you know, grab a hot dog and a beer or something like that. But so it never really took off. There are still people who approach us to be like, where's the dads in the making? And I think we as women fail to realize it does look different and that's okay. And, you know, a friend who now has 4 children after infertility had to remind me, like, Caroline, even the journey of motherhood and fatherhood looks totally different. Like, the role as a man and the role as a woman in the marriage and in parenthood is different and that's okay. And so my husband and I have done very small things like prayer videos and stuff like that. But no, we don't have a ministry just for men yet.
So you had the blog and then you went to the devotional in due time. And then what birthed Moms in the Making?
Yeah. So it was in 2013. So just about a year after our diagnosis and a year after I started In Due Time blog that, again, the Lord was like, hey, knock, knock. It's time to have a few people over who were also going through infertility. And so keep in mind, at this time, this was literally just having a few people over in my living room who I knew were also struggling and yet could use some encouragement. And so it was not a big deal at all. There were 6 of us on the very first meeting of Moms in the Making. And it wasn't even Moms in the Making. It was called an infertility support group. Through that, we started to see so much life and breakthrough. And women were just hungry. They were hungry for what the Lord was doing. I still remember some of those first meetings. We met every week and we were having women get pregnant, like one after the other, after the other. And women experiencing the power of prayer. They were seeing their prayers answered and they were just amazed by it. And so that started to grow a little bit. You know, we would invite, it was open door, so more people would come. And again, every person was getting pregnant. And that's not what Moms in the Making is about. Of course, we celebrate that, but these hearts were getting healed and people were all of a sudden hungering for a relationship with God again. And so again, I was just doing my thing, honestly, to be completely honest, not thinking a thing of it. I mean, amazed by what God was doing, but I never thought it would be anything other than that. Well, it wasn't until 2017, so this is many years later, that he had said, it's time to host a conference. And so I approached 2 of the girls who were also a part of our local group. Their names are Jessica and Melanie. And was like, hey, we're going to have a conference. And we laugh about it now because they had no idea what none of us had any idea what we were signing up for. And so 2017, we launched our first conference and it was quite the undertaking, if you will. And then 2018 is when we started launching Moms in the Making groups in other cities.
So I guess like for those people who aren't necessarily in the infertility, but those that are wanting to work on a ministry and feel like they're doing something, just to hear this and say, okay, that was like 2011.
Yeah.
And then that turned into something. And then that turned into something. And it's you being faithful to God that built through that. And it took years. It took time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people, I think there's a lot of just misconceptions about being in a ministry role. So to kind of back up a little bit, at this time, I'm still working full time as a financial analyst. I have a great job, an amazing career, a degree in finance and marketing. I'm still working full time. And yet at the same time, the Lord's saying these things on the side, you know, start a blog, start or write a book, start a support group, host a conference. And so it was at that time that, I mean, I took a huge step of faith and quit my job because I was like, I don't have the capacity to do both anymore. It had just grown so quickly. And, you know, I think people glorify ministry and they think, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing to be a pastor or to lead a ministry or to start a nonprofit. And yet it comes with such a high cost. It comes with such a high cost. And you're right. It's not this overnight sensation. It's no, I've put in the time and the effort and, you know, spiritually, but of course with work too, you know, giving up a full-time salary to basically offer the sacrifice to the Lord to say, hey, I'm yours. However you want to use me, the answer is yes. I will say yes, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, my answer is yes. And I'm going to be obedient. And so, but yeah, to your point, you know, it's interesting looking back in some ways, I don't think I've ever kind of had time to grasp the depth of what he's done. And yet I'm glad in some ways that I'm just focused on the person in front of me. Like, who am I going to encourage today? If it's, hey, God, you want me to write this blog post and I'm going to release it. And if one person gets encouraged for it, it's for the one person. And that's kind of what my heart is always about is what is he telling me to do? Where is he calling me to go? And if it's for one person, then I would do it. It's worth it all.
That's awesome. So if someone out there listening is wanting to get involved in Moms in the Making, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the best place is momsinthemakinggroup.com. So that would be our website. We're also on social media at Instagram and Facebook, just Moms in the Making as our handles. And yeah, so just to kind of give a quick overview, Moms in the Making now has support groups in 42 different places across the United States, in Canada and Germany. So what we had modeled here in my living room, we're now modeling in other people's living rooms, all the way from the West Coast down to Florida, up to Canada. And again, as I mentioned, in Germany. And then we also have virtual groups. So if you are someone who is not yet a leader of a group, or there's not yet a group in your city, you could join a virtual group, which we all know about virtual groups right now, just being in, you know, with COVID and quarantine. And then we also offer the annual conference and we have people fly over all over the world for that. And that has just blessed so many. And so there's plenty of ways to get involved. Again, momsinthemakinggroup.com would be the best way to learn more.
So what's the journey from reaching out to join a group? What does it look like from beginning to, say, 6 months in?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, a lot of people struggle with feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm too nervous. So a lot of times what happens is, okay, let's say I find out there's a group in Ohio and I'm so excited and I reach out and I get the details and then it seems like people are very hesitant to go. And I think that's a lot of things. I think it's shame. I think it's, okay, well, I don't want to go to someone's house I've never met. But let's just say, hey, you find out a group there's in your city and you go. Our groups meet twice a month. And so we cover curriculum that I myself have written. And it's really the whole heart of Moms in the Making is to focus on the Word of God and focus on Jesus, because we feel like the only thing that will bring true joy and peace and hope is a relationship with him. And no baby will ever be able to fulfill what only he can. And so, yeah, so it would just look like, hey, you're going to probably, if you get involved with a group, have lots of new friends. We also offer a lot of ways to get plugged in with prayer partners where you can get set up with one person to kind of go deeper together in the friendship and to pray for one another. And so really, I try to say this, or I like to say this, it's you're going to get out of it whatever you put in. And I think that goes with our relationship with God. Like, I get out of it the effort that I put into it. If I'm not praying, if I'm not worshiping, if I'm not reading my word, he's probably going to feel very distant. And I think even with our Moms in the Making groups, you know, we have the women who are all in and it's absolutely changed their lives. And then we have the women who maybe have attended one group and they're wondering, okay, well, why am I still discouraged or hopeless? And so you reap the harvest of the seeds that you've sown, for sure.
You talked about this a little bit, but identity is a huge theme in my podcast. And it wasn't intended that way, but it kind of feels like God keeps putting it in. For me, my infertility time was probably the biggest thing that rocked my identity. Realizing where I was putting it, I was putting it into achievements. I was putting it into my financial stability. I was putting it into my relationship. I was putting it into things that were not God. For me, it kind of brought me back to God. And that was kind of part of what my journey looked like. But what about you? Have you struggled with your identity in your infertility?
Yeah, you know, I would say with anything, I mean, again, if you would look back at my blog to where I am now, you'd be like, Caroline's a completely different person. And so I think if anything, I've found my identity and I've realized who I actually am. And again, that can only be found in the Lord. It's not as a title of mother. It's not as a title of, you know, president or founder of a ministry. And those things are all great. It's not that those are bad things, but yet they'll still let me down. And so I think, you know, if anything, what we try to do even with our ministry is to help women realize that that is their true identity, is who Christ says they are. They are his beloved. They are his chosen. They are his sought after one. They are his loved one. And so this journey, I'm thankful to say, has helped me realize that. Now, I had a big moment, a big turning point and surrender in my journey. And so, yeah, at the beginning, probably didn't know that truth at all, but it was through reading God's word that I've had that revelation.
What would you wish someone had said to you at the beginning of this?
Oh my goodness, for sure, just run after him. There's nothing better than, he's just so good and he's so faithful. And it sounds like the textbook Christian answer, but I'm telling you, once I surrendered over to him, everything, like my whole life changed in the best way possible. And so I wish someone had told me at the beginning, hey, Caroline, you can't bring a baby. You can't make the baby happen. It doesn't matter how many essential oils you use or what diet you start or how much acupuncture you do, what fertility meds you take, like that is not going to be what brings your baby. It's going to be a gift from the Lord and it's going to be by his grace. And so I wish someone had told me that at the beginning, and that's absolutely what I would tell someone too. Just surrendering it over to him and running after him is what will bring you true fulfillment.
So was control an issue for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, at the beginning. The first, it was about, I would say, a good year and a half of our journey, I was grasping at straws, trying to figure out, okay, well, what can we do to improve our health? What can we do to make this happen? How can we get pregnant? And running down all those roads I just mentioned, including all the tracking and the charting and the timing. And listen, I'm not saying any of that is bad in context if you approach it in a healthy way. And the Lord actually gave me a dream. And in that dream, he asked me to, well, actually in the dream, I was pregnant. And so I woke up one morning thinking, oh my gosh, this is it. This is amazing. Well, it turns out I wasn't. And in that moment, he asked me, will you surrender this over to me? You know, and I try to explain it. Like at that time, I was like a little immature child who was kicking and screaming. And I wondered, you know, why I was so hopeless in these moments. And I was desperate. I would get jealous when other people were pregnant. I was not in a good place at all. And yet the minute I surrendered it, it was like he was available to me to come and rescue me and love on me. And, you know, we see that with little children too. When they're throwing a tantrum, that parent can't help. But if they'll just lay still, that parent can go in and pick them up and just lavish their love. And so thankfully, that turning point and that moment of surrender was very early on in my journey. And so it would be the place I would want to encourage someone today too.
So you talked about God's faithfulness and part of, well, obviously, Bridge of the Faithful, faithfulness is the main part of this. And for me, it started as a journey of like, we say faithfulness, but I need to know, like, what does that actually mean? What does that look like? So we're going to look at that from two aspects. First of all, how have you battled and succeeded in staying faithful to God?
Yeah, I think for me, again, a little bit of a broken record, but I think it just all goes back to his word. And this morning, I actually released an episode on our podcast, and I had asked the woman I was interviewing, do you think that you can stay full of hope and full of faith and be encouraged without being in the word every day? And she said, absolutely not. And I agreed, and I knew that was going to be her answer. But I think we as Christians wonder, you know, why does it feel like God's distant? Why does it feel like he's not faithful? And yet we're not playing the part that we're meant to play. And that's reading his word. His word is the manna. It's what fills us up. It's what sustains us. And, you know, she gave this example, and we've talked about this before, of like, I can't remember what I ate 3 days ago, yet I know it sustained me. I know it nourished me. So I might not be able to remember today what I read yesterday morning, but it was God's word that gave me life and sustained me. And so really, I've seen his faithfulness throughout because it's been through his word. And I mean, his rhema word, his written word, and his logos word for sure. But I just am always so just go back to even what it says in Romans, you know, about Abraham and Sarah. And you know, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, that they believed the promise and they expected God to fulfill it. And I just can recall, I think it's so important to recall the testimonies of every time God has been so faithful in my life. And I think, you know, that's what David had to do with Goliath. When he was approaching Goliath, he recalled the prior times that God had been faithful. And so I think in these moments where we feel like, wait, God, have you forgotten me? Or, you know, we go back to his word, we worship our way through, and then we definitely recall the prior times he's been faithful. And in that, I know that every promise of his is yes and amen, like it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, and that he will come through, that he is a man of his word, that no word in scripture will return null and void. And so I just, again, it's the manna of my life is what I've feasted on in his word.
I think we look a lot at those stories with like Abraham and Sarah or Noah or David. And we're like, we want to have faith like them, but we forget that to have faith like them, we have to go through those trials.
That's, I mean, which is James, right? James 1:2-4. It's like, hey, this is producing in you patience. It's producing in you character, and it's going to lead to maturity and hope. And so, you know, consider it joy for facing trials of many kinds. And so, yeah, I think you're exactly right.
Do you have any really cool stories where God was abundantly faithful to you?
Oh my gosh. In this season or prior seasons?
Both.
Oh gosh, I could go. I could talk
about it. Pick one for each.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I, you know, graduated from college. I was the 27 dresses girl after college. And all my friends were getting married. I was a maid of honor 3 times. Like, I think it was actually even the same summer. I was always the bridesmaid, never the bride, you know, the whole story. And so I remember even coworkers would be like, you're the 27 dresses girl, if you've seen that movie. Yeah. And I went through a lot of heartache with men who, several men, I could, whatever, I won't get into details, but men who would tell me, hey, I want to marry you. You're the girl of my dreams. And they would take me to look at rings, and one even asked my dad, and, you know, and then they would just out of the blue break up with me. And so being heartbroken and confused and lonely and feeling like everyone else had a husband but me, I still remember just God's faithfulness to carry me through, and then his faithfulness to bring me a husband that was 100 million times better than I could have asked or imagined. It was, you know, we have these lists of women of what we want in a man, and it exceeded that, you know, tenfold. And so definitely his faithfulness in, you know, bringing my now husband Colby into my life. And then the way he's just blessed our marriage has been amazing. And so that would be one. And now, you know, he's just faithful to continue to speak to me. I think, you know, it's 8 years. 8 years is a long time. And again, I'm in a season where all my friends have had babies. A lot of them have 3 or 4 babies. And really, even going back to the beginning of Moms in the Making, most all of those women are complete. They've completed their family. That was, you know, 7, 8 years ago. And so I am just thankful for the ways he continues to speak. He does that a lot for me by speaking through other people. And so I've had strangers who have come up to me and, you know, given me a word from the Lord. I've had lots of dreams and visions. And so it's so hard to pick just one thing, because I think it's constant and it's been consistent, and he's so sweet and gentle about it. So he's amazing.
On the flip side, have you felt a lot of pushback from either spiritual, like Satan trying to put you down, or people who just don't understand infertility, not understanding why this is so important?
Yeah. Oh, pushback. I could talk about this all day too. faced a lot of persecution, a lot of persecution. I've actually had mega churches bring me in and try to shut down what we're doing. So pastors have called me in and been like, you need to stop what you're doing. And so, yeah, no doubt we've had family members write us letters in the mail. Pushback is definitely something I'm familiar with. Gotten lots of hate emails and reviews and DMs and messages on social media. And, you know, there's a reason that I face persecution. You know, we only see that the people who are doing something worthy of persecution should be getting persecution. And so really, I feel like if Christians were all operating how we were meant to operate, we would all be receiving that, you know, those that, again, like that pushback and persecution. So yeah, I think people have had a hard time understanding why for 8 years we haven't adopted or sought out medical treatment. And it's hard for them to grasp their mind around it because we live in this society where we grasp at the next straw. And again, I'm not saying anything's wrong with doing either of those routes. They're both beautiful and amazing, but there's something beautiful about waiting for your Isaac. And I'm not going to take a shortcut to get an Ishmael when I know that God's reserved an Isaac for me. And so, you know, for us, for my husband and I, we know we want to be on the same page. And of course we have spiritual mentors speaking in and, you know, we want to be obedient to whatever the Lord's saying, but we have to stand, you know, stand strong in those moments of just being like, okay, enemy, nice try. You tried to take me out again, or all right, here's the letter in the mail. Your enemy, you're speaking through someone again. And yet we have authority over that. And so, you know, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as it says in John 10:10. And yet there's something about being persistent and persevering through. And so, you know, I hate that we've had to face such negativity and criticism, and yet I know it'll be worth it, and it is worth it.
I was looking through my journals from 8 years ago, which for us was 3 years in to the infertility saga, and the last thing I wrote before just kind of not giving up, but just starting to let go was, it will all be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we need to hold on to for whatever it is that we're waiting for. If we're waiting for a job or a ministry or a relationship or a baby, God knows that. And yes, he's doing something with it. When we're waiting, then it's totally going to be worth it.
Amen. I totally agree.
What verse did you pick for our ending?
Galatians 6:9.
Tell us about your love for this verse.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is actually what my book and my blog was based off of, is Galatians 6:9, because in that verse it says, you know, don't grow weary in well-doing, because if you continue to do good, then in due time you will reap a harvest. But what I love about this verse is it gets me excited. I'm like, in due time, I will reap a harvest if I don't give up. Yet there's something so important about context when we're in scripture. And if we back up to Galatians 6:7 and 6:8, it talks about, hey, you reap the very seeds, or you reap the harvest of the seeds you've been sowing. I know I mentioned that a little bit. And basically, hey, the harvest you reap reveals the very seed that was planted. I think oftentimes we are expecting a harvest of blessings, and yet all we've been sowing is seeds of complaining and anger and bitterness and jealousy. And so I know, you know, for our journey, in due time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And I believe that we've been planting seeds of faith, and we've been planting seeds of joy, and we've been planting seeds of expectancy. And I know that's the harvest that we're going to reap. So I just love this verse.
And obviously that's where you got the name for your blog then, right?
Yes, it is. Yep. My blog and book.
So Galatians 6:7-9, do not be deceived. God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap in return. The one who sows to please his flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
This has been episode 38 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled In Due Time with Caroline Harries. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/38. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.